Welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mandone. Hi, everybody.
Hello, we're going to talk food, but first we have to talk some politics.
We have to, because I was up, almost till midnight watching the convention. And what I wasn't watching it live, I then prompted me to go back and look at a couple of other things that I had missed from the day before.
Right.
It's been pretty inspiring. I mean, Obama's speech last night was, I didn't see any news reports this morning, but I think it's probably the most scathing criticism of a sitting president.
Yeah.
Did you happen to hear it? It
was. We fell asleep. Actually, did we even try to watch it last night? I think we were watching other things, but I tend to, we tried the first night and a little bit the second night, and then I just figured I'd watch the highlights. But I think what's happened is, a lot of the Democrats have been trying to take the high road, for so long. Like Michelle Obama, way back in 2016, when she said when they go low, we go high.
Right.
And I think they're realizing that we got to go a little low.
Yeah.
because what the times are calling for.
They went a little bit low. And, the bottom line is they're trying to just get everybody out and vote. I did see one highlight where it was Hillary Clinton and saying, somebody can win. Having won 3 million of the popular votes, they still could lose. So we need everybody out and voting.
Now, did you think it was appropriate? I did not think it was appropriate having Bill Clinton actually pointing out how Trump has acted in office, because I just thought it was in poor taste. We all know what he did. I don't really judge him for it that much. Even at the time, I was like, so what, a blowjob, I was glad it wasn't my husband, but I didn't think he should be the one calling out Trump in terms of his behavior in office.
I agree, and I think it's one thing for Obama to say something because he basically hands it over the reins, and you would hope.
And Obama didn't have a single scandal his entire presidency.
No, nor would he ever.
He's right.
Just so a classy guy.
But don't a couple of things. And it looks like we're probably going to do the whole segment on this, but we might switch to broccoli salad any second.
Brace yourself. There's chicken sausage ahead.
But don't the Republicans, especially the conservative ones, the Trumpers, don't they see that isn't this the first time in history we have had so many Republicans come to a Democratic convention stepping in?
I think so. Absolutely.
I mean, that has got to be history, but I'm not really.
Well, and I'm curious, unfortunately, I know a ton of Republicans, but quite frankly, they're not pleased with Trump either, except for the extreme, extremely conservative. And I wonder, what does that look like to them, seeing all of these Republican leaders coming out and saying, look, I'm a Republican and I'm not for him. I wonder if it makes a light bulb go off and maybe make someone reconsider their position. And again, I hate the fact that it's become so partisan. Like, it's supposed to be about our country and what's best for our country and what's best for the guy next door and, all our constitutional values. It's not supposed to be Democratic versus Republican. I know it is, and it's kind of sad because people are, I think you mentioned this last week or a couple of weeks ago, that people are teaching their children that Democrats are bad people, like they it's very interesting how partisanship has become.
On that note,
so divided.
On that note, we're both from, you're from Staten Island, right?
Yep.
I'm from Brooklyn. And I recently had a friend who found me on Facebook. I haven't seen her since I was 12 years old.
Uh-huh.
And her name is Noreen. And we hung out with a little clique, you know, like four or five girls that we hung out with. And she found me on Facebook, friended me, told me about another two gals wants to get together. And I was like so excited. And she shared pictures that I have never had from, you know, my class picture.
Right. You showed me the one where you were roller skating.
Right. Right.
Yep.
But I went to her page mm-hmm. and I was like, oh shit.
Oh,
she's a Trumper.
Well,
and I thought, oh my God, how am I going to be able to do this? How am I going to be able to, and I'm just going to have to make it clear. Now, all of these three women that were supposed to have some sort of Zoom reunion, I've already reached out to one of them and said, you know, if you look at my profile, I don't get real super political, but you can see, you know, I have,
which way you're, you know, leaning.
Where my, who I've donated to, or I made a couple of Black Lives Matter posts. Like it's kind of obvious. When you look
which way you are leaning, right?
And I just hope that, especially with someone who's like a major Trumper, mm-hmm. that they're not gonna, what if they're not able to put that aside? And I think it's just, we have to make it a thing that we just don't discuss it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, you have heard me talk about, I have a friend in Iowa who is a staunch Republican and loves Donald Trump. And we have decided long ago to just agree to disagree. And it's something that we don't really talk about. It gets a little bit difficult at times because, you know, it really speaks to your morals in a way, like what you'll put up with and what you think is appropriate. I mean, I know she's a good woman and I know we have a lot in common, but,
right. But don't,
you know, and I'm not ready to write her off and vice versa, where I've seen a lot of my high school friends, you know, specifically on social media, who are just not speaking to one another anymore. And I see them going back and forth, you know, arguing about things. And then, you know, ultimately they just, you know, unfriend each other and they're both pretty, you know, the specific people I'm talking about from high school, you know, they are very set in their opinion. And I think sometimes friendships have to sort of transcend politics, but I can understand how, you know, that is difficult because you have different points of view. You know, you're not like-minded in.
It's so, but Laura, it goes so beyond that now. Rob Bell, our producer, posted something on Facebook that I thought had some truth to it. He's pretty far left liberal mm-hmm. and posts like crazy politically, which I don't really like. But
right.
He said that he feels like there's emerging parties. He said that the Republicans have become the Democrats have become the progressives. The Republicans have become the Democrats and
the conservative
and the rest have right. become the fascists.
Right.
And that's where I feel like fucking Trump. Sorry, excuse my language. We don't do it often, mm-hmm. but fucking Trump has hijacked a perfectly responsible and legitimate party.
Yeah.
I might disagree. Even the responsible, legitimate party that I once knew, I disagree with some of the policies. I might be called like fiscally Republican, but I tend to go Democrat. But he has hijacked their party. He's destroyed it.
Yeah, my father was a staunch Republican, and
yeah, a lot of people I grew up with.
My Uncle Joe. was a staunch Republican up until this presidency. And he's pretty horrified. I think my father would be horrified. Yeah. You know, we grew up with lots of people having lots of opinions and sometimes heated arguments over the dinner table about politics, but it never got to the point where you disrespected or spoke down to someone else, or, you know, no belittling, no, just an appreciation that someone else has a point of view. And everyone parted friends, you know, everybody still loved each other, even though there were aunts and uncles that were, you know, diabolically opposed to each other's politics. But it's not like that anymore. It's so guttural.
And how do you feel about, I've been peripherally paying attention to this group, but I think more so this morning, it became really clear to me what they're about, how they came about, and how they are making their voices heard now. Is, I don't know how to pronounce it, QAnon?
Yeah, and I don't know enough to even have a conversation about it, but...
Well, here's the... Let me give you...
Peripheral.
Right, the basic tenets of this group is that Democrats are Satan worshiping pedophiles.
Right.
Okay. Satan worshiping pedophiles who eat their young. Okay. So that is like one of the basic, most longstanding. Okay. So that in itself, people should say, all right, that's messed up, man. Like obviously that's not true. But no, QAnon, however you pronounce it, I'm not sure if they actually believe this or they are promoting this to try to create divisiveness. The trouble with them, they've actually been around for a long time.
Huh.
The trouble with them is that they have glommed on to Trump as the perfect person
to save them.
Okay, so reporter, as recently, I think it's yesterday or 2 days ago, was at the Rose Garden, wherever they have their outdoor press conference.
Right.
And she said, President Trump, this QAnon group, their philosophy is that they want to stop the Democrats from, you know, pedophilia and satanic rituals and blah, 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 like bizarre stuff. And Trump looked at her and he said, and so this is a bad thing?
Oh my God.
Look it up. It's on tape. Okay.
Just
so
it's just what I'm so what's, beyond what's so reality.
Scary, what's so scary to me is that they're now being voted into office. There was someone that won the primary. I think it's in Georgia or something. She's a QAnon person and she won the primary and she's actually the favorite to win in November.
Awesome.
For Congress. Okay. Trump has already pegged her as, you know,
endorsed her.
Right, rising star. Okay. What I'm seeing on Facebook, the few quote, when I say friends, I use that term very loosely.
Right.
They're in my Facebook feed. I've met them before. They're not really my friends, but I keep them in my feed. I actually just over the past couple of months, finally defriended two of them who are so free and ridiculous in what they were posting. And every time I tried, when I argued it, the only time I would even chime in is when I thought, you're spreading such lies. And people are believing it. Okay. And you are propagating this. And this is wrong. What you're, Bill and Melinda Gates are not trying to kill us.
Oh
okay.
My gosh.
So what I'm realizing though, is that of the few friends that I have left, including a couple of cousins and, you know, a few peripheral friends, is that some of these things I'm hearing them say about this whole pedophilia ring, they think
it's just
true.
Amazing to me what people believe.
Pedophilia.
It's just amazing
ring.
To me what people believe. I don't understand. Like, I mean, I guess because there's so much fake news. Like, don't people research? Don't people like go to, you know, look at different media outlets and different sources of information.
I think
it always boggles my mind that how do you believe this crap?
I think what happened is hatred. Okay. From hatred, their hatred of liberals. And I know my fiance's got a lot of conservative friends. Their hatred of liberals has blinded them. Sorry, I'll turn it off. Has made them susceptible to a belief system that is très bizarre, is like beyond what, you know, and it's the essence of it. It stemmed from hatred of liberals, that we're like just trying to destroy the country. And
well,
you know,
well, now that we've now that we've annihilated most of the people on our national program, which started as a political red state talk radio show.
Whatever. That nobody's listening on that platform. Trust
we
me.
Have about 40 seconds left. So
okay, we're going to go to food.
When we come back, we're definitely going to talk about food.
Broccoli salad, I promise.
And all kinds of chicken, fabulous chicken sausage.
Watermelon kimchi. We got
a really yummy arugula salad with fennel and watermelon. And we'll be right back.
That's right.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. That's 1-855-398-1754.
Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that?
I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way.
We'll help you instantly. Call 844-606-8411. That's 844-606-8411.
And welcome back to Food for Thought.
And we're back with food.
Talking food, no more politics.
No. And guess what I have right in front of me right now?
What?
A big heaping plate of the most delicious smelling. It's a miracle I haven't reached over and chomped on one. So the shop right near me in Princeton has their own, they have a really awesome butcher section, and they make their own in-store sausages and
right.
Both pork, they make beef, they make chicken, they make turkey. And what I have in front of me right now is a beautiful platter of chicken and kale sausage. But right. They have, they do such a selection. They have chicken and parsley that's sort of like Lagonega sausage, which mm-hmm. I love that flavor with, it's got Parmesan and parsley in it. They have some that have roasted red peppers and garlic. They have, but it's all, you know, force meat basically with chicken and herbs and yummy veggies. And it's my new favorite thing. I've been cooking up a batch almost weekly. And just, we're not even having it for a meal. We're just sort of snacking on it from time to time.
Yeah.
Good.
I have to say, one of the things that I, and I think, I mean, ShopRite's are what, East Coast, Northeast?
Pretty much Northeast. I think pretty much tri-state area.
Really?
New Jersey, Pennsylvania.
All right. So it doesn't, this won't apply to a lot of people, but this is where, if you're in the tri-state area, ShopRite is very popular and they're independently owned, but they all sort of are under the umbrella of the Wakefern Corporation.
Right.
But they're independently owned. So they're all a little different, but they all follow some of the same guidelines.
Right.
There's a ShopRite.
So the one, is the one in Flemington a quote unquote world class shop? Because some of them are classified as world class.
No, it's not classified as world class, although I think it is, it should be. The one I go to right now in my temporary dwelling is in Rocky Hill.
Right.
And it is called World Class ShopRite. My favorite thing about this World Class ShopRite is that they have these amazing two cases that are right by the kind of right by the entrance.
Right.
And it's where they take all of their stuff that is like about to expire. Now
we have them too.
We both know, you know, there's expiration date. Like they have to be very strict. So if something is going to, you know, sell by April 5th, by April 4th, they're going to put it in that case.
Right.
So what I have found, especially with the things you can freeze.
Oh, absolutely.
I have been buying up that half price.
Yeah.
Half pizzas, white pies, cauliflower crust pies,
yep,
roast pork loin.
Actually, they, you know what they always have in ours too, and ours is just by the checkout. They have like crazy desserts.
Yeah.
Like if I was a dessert person, I would be going nuts because they have, you know, like a beautiful little cheesecake with strawberries on it.
Right.
Or they have, you know, freshly made brownies, or they have a lot
right.
of nice little dessert items.
Luckily,
not that I eat any of that, but.
Well, I don't either, but luckily a lot of people won't even go near that case because they're like, oh, that's the stuff going bad.
And yeah, I'm but
like,
it's not.
Oh, yeah, sucks to be you.
I love that case.
I know better.
So, there's also a case like that in the produce section, specifically
right.
for the produce that's a little off. That's like my favorite place in the world. And generally, I'll usually, it's pretty much the only time I buy portobello mushrooms is when it's in that case. Because in the other case, it's like, you know, they're almost like $5 a cap. But
it's crazy.
If they're over in that case, you get like, I think they, you know, they cryovac them in packs of three or four.
Right.
And it's like, you know, $5 for four giant portobellos. That's
yeah,
a different story.
It's crazy. And I've been really hitting that case. And,
yeah.
You know, I'll get the roast pork loin. I could buy a piece of pork and roast it myself for
right.
no big deal, but I don't right. always feel like doing that. And if it's fully cooked and I can just make a bunch of Cubano sandwiches out of it,
right.
you know, for a food cost of about 75 cents a sandwich,
exactly.
then it's, you know, it's great. Cause
absolutely.
I don't know. What do you know what you guys spend on groceries a month, you and Mario?
Personally or at work?
No, personally.
Personally?
But you get a lot of stuff from the restaurant.
We don't bring a lot of stuff home from the restaurant. I mean, we'll bring dinner home from the restaurant maybe
right.
twice a week, or
right.
just grab something, you know, like some soup or whatever the soup of the day was. We'll take a quart home or, but at home. So it's pretty interesting. When we had Annie's kids here during quarantine, and they were here for like 9.5 weeks. So, you know, the better part of 3 months, basically. We were spending, and the kids were buying groceries because they were staying here. And I was just, you know, we'd go through and figure out what the menu was for the week. I would write a list, send them to the store. And I think they were spending about $200 a week, which is a lot, but we were also five people and we weren't, you know, we were having shrimp, we were having tuna, we were having, you know, it wasn't like we were just bare bonesing it. We were eating well. Mario and I probably spend less than $100. I make, you know, I only cook maybe three maybe 4 nights a week, generally, if it's just the two of us. And as you know, I cook like I'm cooking for an army always. That's why I always have, like, I'm packing stuff up to put in the freezer for Uncle Joe for a later date. But we have either pasta or a rice dish. We'll have a pasta dish once a week, and we'll have a rice dish once a week, whether that's like chicken and rice or like a paella type dish or like a jambalaya type dish. Mm-hmm. And a pasta, which I generally, unless we're in the mood for my regular marinara that I have sausage and meatballs in, generally the pasta that I'm making is a pasta that just has a ton of vegetables. This time of year, like, my go-to is I chop up zucchini, I saute it with onions and garlic, I chop up fresh tomatoes, I throw that in, I throw some fresh basil in it, and that's it. That's the sauce, basically. It's just fresh tomatoes, zucchini, some onion, and basil. Delicious. Put a ton of cheese on it, and it literally, you know, if I costed it out, it probably would be like $3 a portion, not even, you know?
Right.
We'll have fish once a week, whether it's, you know, I do a lot of grilling this time of year. So whether I'm getting shrimp and marinating it and putting it on the grill, or I'm getting tuna. And, you know, I've really been into these really nice center cut tuna steaks lately that are pretty reasonably priced at ShopRite, or a swordfish steak. So we'll have fish once a week. We'll have a rice dish of some sort, whether it has vegetables or poultry in it. We'll have something from work probably twice a week. And that's pretty much it. So it's not like I'm cooking for, you know, for a family that, you know, we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. For breakfast, I'm all about yogurt and applesauce and maybe a sprinkling of granola or a smoothie of some sort. Mario is all about toast with peanut butter and bananas. That's like his go-to breakfast.
Right.
And I mean, I just pick for lunch. Generally, I have a couple of pieces of fruit for lunch, or I'll make a salad with, like, you know, leftover tuna or leftover whatever protein I had the day before, the 2 days before, on a salad. So I'd be honest, I think we spend under $100 a week on groceries.
We spend a lot more than that, just on the two of us.
We don't, and we never have. It's very funny because when there's people visiting, there's always so much food here. Like when the kids come or when I have family over, you know, my refrigerator's packed because there's family coming, and I've cooked and I've shopped and everything's packed up. But generally, Mario and my refrigerator, you know, our refrigerator doesn't have a lot of stuff in it at other times. I mean, we've got a ton of condiments, and we always have, you know, hummus and pickles and celery and carrots. But I don't have a lot of, like, you know, I don't have lunch meats or, you know, cold cuts or cheeses or any of that stuff that I might have if there were other people around. You know, it's just
we spend a lot. So I'm trying to figure out why, but, you know, I just kind of buy what I want, and we don't eat any pasta or rice or anything. I think sometimes when you really focus on protein and vegetables, that's when your grocery bill goes
expensive,
really high. But anyway, so
plus we both love leftovers. So, you know, I cook a lot of food. So if I'm cooking on Monday, we're probably having that for dinner Monday and Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, if we're getting something from the restaurant, and on Thursday I'm cooking something else, we're probably having that Thursday and Friday.
Right.
So it's like I get two meals or 2 days out of whatever it is that I'm whipping together.
Which a lot of people,
sometimes I'll recycle things. You know, if I have grilled chicken breasts, maybe the next day I turn it into chicken curry, or, you know, what we do at work, how we recycle food.
Right. So last week, I'm not sure if I talked about my Thai broccoli salad. I made a Thai broccoli salad
and I'd love to hear it because I'm really into Thai stuff lately.
Well, I made it with a tahini vinaigrette, but I've decided that the next time I make it, I'm going to leave out the tahini. But
I think tahini gets a little
Heavy.
It's heavy, and that there's that after that seed after
bitterness.
Yeah, it's not even a bitterness. It's like a, I guess you would describe it as umami, that thickness.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a richness. It's a little heavy.
It's a little heavy, but so this recipe called for, and you know, I read, it was a New York Times recipe that I basically looked at and then I just walked away from and decided to do my own thing. But it basically called for a lime tahini vinaigrette. Mm-hmm. So you just cook the broccoli, and it was also, and I always love this, it was very much a proponent of, the recipe was anyway, of using the stalk, you know, of the broccoli. Right. I mean, as long as a lot of people throw that away, which you shouldn't.
I really don't even like broccoli. It's my least favorite vegetable, but if I were to eat it, I only like the stalk. I don't like
the stalks. They get the especially toward the end, it gets very woody. So it's best if you try to peel off that outer layer. But so it included the florets plus like a julienne stalk. Mm-hmm. And you just cook it till it's crisp tender, you know, important not to overcook it.
Right.
Shock it in some ice water. And then the other ingredients were just fresh ginger, garlic, a little sesame oil, and then the lime tahini vinaigrette. But honestly, the next time I think I would just do it with a little lime juice and peanut oil.
Right.
And then finish it with some toasted peanuts and cilantro.
Good. Nice. That sounds delicious.
I made it with the tahini. And again, it just becomes this much richer kind of pasty
thicker,
where I really would prefer the lighter, crunchier, more vibrant, you know, right. kind of salad. But tonight I'm making, actually my son's coming over for dinner.
Oh, nice.
And I texted him and I said, well, I had gone shopping hoping that he would say yes. And I said, so do you want grilled flank steak or shrimp scampi? And then I just decided to say he or both. And he said, that would be great if we could have both.
Of course.
So making shrimp scampi, I've already made the base, just sauteed garlic in butter and olive oil, kind of equal parts.
Right.
Put in white wine, reduce it, finish it off with some lemon juice. And then I'm basically just going to throw the shrimp in, toss it, and then top it with some fresh parsley.
And what are you doing to the steak?
The steak I've marinated in my typical kind of teriyaki marinade, soy sauce, mustard, fresh ginger, garlic, and a little, I always put a little bit of sweet something. So sometimes it's brown sugar, sometimes it's honey. I actually, and I do this a lot, if I'm trying to make sure I use up my condiments in the refrigerator, there was some kind of preserves.
Right.
Like it wasn't jelly. It was some kind of sweet.
Like apricot or
something like that. And it was not super chunky. So I was like, yeah, this is going in. That way I can use it up.
And it's going to caramelize beautifully.
And it's going to caramelize. And then I feel like I'm using up my fridge stuff so that I'm not throwing away, you know, moldy condiments.
Nothing like a little bit of pectin in there to get a little caramelization happen.
Little pectin. So yeah, so I don't, and we actually don't have a grill right now, which is kind of a drag, but I'll probably just pan sear it.
Nice.
And hope that the fire alarm doesn't go off, the smoke detector.
Do you want me to bring over a little grill for you? I have a little grill at work.
We have like not even a week. We have a week left.
That's right. You're moving.
So, yeah. So I also bought in that wonderful case of Half Price Delights. I got a package of fresh angel hair pasta.
Nice.
Which, let me check how much it is.
Okay. We'll play the interim music.
So it's like.
Oh, here we go.
So it's like, I'm trying to see, it doesn't say how much it weighs.
How many nests are in there?
There's three big nests. It feels like a good pound.
So each nest, generally speaking, is usually a quarter of a pound. So like 4 ounces. So it looks like you've got a pound and a little, right?
Yeah, I've got a little over a pound, I think. Nice. And it was $2, awesome. You know, for fresh pasta.
Yeah, people, go in those manager special cases. They're the bomb.
I know we're running out of time. I was like a vulture. The guy was actually packing the case with the stuff. Like, and wait. I was taking the stuff off of his case, you know, his little cart. I was like, sorry, I want this one.
All right, more food when we come back.
Yep, more recipes. I want to talk to you about an air fryer.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and medical expenses are covered. If you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over 60, call 24/7 1-855-398-1754. 1-855-398-1754. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Generic Sildenafil allows you to save up to $650 on Viagra. Why pay name brand prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get the same results for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 50 generic Sildenafil pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $750 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill for the name brand again. Get generic Sildenafil for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-590-0443 today and save up to $650 and get 50 pills for just $99. Generic Sildenafil is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Call 800-590-0443. That's 800-590-0443. Again, 800-590-0443.
Okay, and we're back.
What
about an air fryer?
Air fryer, like everybody, what is it? Like, do I have to get one?
No, you don't.
But this is, what does it do? Describe to me.
It's like a mini convection oven. It's circulating hot air around your food.
And why do they call this thing a fryer?
Good question, because oil is not involved in any way. It's basically circulating hot air around your food. It's basically a small convection oven. So you know how a convection oven, you know the temperature differential if it's a conventional oven versus a convection oven, right? You know that it's, you know, if you put something in the oven, the regular oven for 30 minutes, it's probably going to take 20 to 22 minutes in a convection oven because it's hotter, the air is moving around. So take that convection oven that's generally the size of a regular oven and shrink it down, and now it's this big. So the air is circulating even faster.
It's so misleading to call it an air fryer.
Well, I know, because everybody, you know, everybody's got fried chicken on their brains and, oh my gosh, I can have fried chicken that's not fattening.
Right. Yeah. It's fried with air, because
the air is circulating at a higher rate, and because it's a smaller circumference, you know, a smaller space, there's more heat generated in that smaller space. It's basically physics. And because the air is circulating, it's drying things out even further.
Quicker.
So it is possible to get a crispy crunch because it's being dried. They should call it an air dryer and not an air fryer.
Yeah, but that wouldn't sell. That wouldn't sell. And people would not be spending hundreds of dollars a pop for these things. Yeah. And so I think I'm going to skip it.
If you put a spritz of, you know, oil or something on it, and now this is getting dried, it's going to get, you know, it's going to be like it's fried. You're going to get the consistency. You're going to get the crisp. You're going to get that, you know. Yeah. Don't do it.
I'm skipping it. Not doing it. I'm not doing that.
Nope. I mean, there are benefits, you know, if I have had French fries from an air fryer, and they were crispy and they were not in oil. So they do serve a purpose, but quite frankly, I'd rather put them in my oven and get them crispy that way without any oil at all.
Right. Yeah. So, have you heard of, have you ever either pickled or made, kimchi out of watermelon rinds?
I've made kimchi, regular kimchi with carrots and cabbage and
right.
peppers, but not out of watermelon rinds. No. Sounds interesting.
Apparently it's a thing. Apparently it's a thing. I'm not even going to recite the recipe.
I have had pickled, straight up pickled watermelon rinds.
I've never eaten a watermelon rind in my life. So I'm wondering.
It's basically has the same, you know, it's a little bit firmer, but it's like a dilly. It's like a pickle. It's like a dilly bean. It's like pickled. You know, in the Italian groceries, they sell the jardiniere, which is the carrots and the pieces of broccoli and the celery all pickled. Basically the same thing.
Okay.
It's great. You know, it is a watermelon rind, so it's crunchier and denser, but
and a little bitter, good. But I would imagine with some sugar and some salt,
it would be yummy.
Now, here's another thing. I can't even talk to you about this because you don't drink coffee.
No, sorry.
But there are some theories that adding salt to coffee when you brew it.
Oh yeah. I actually know that because my mother-in-law would do it. She
really?
Probably does it. Yeah. If we were having an event and she was doing an urn, a 55 cup, you know, those regulation urns for a party, she would put a sprinkle of salt in it.
When you say a sprinkle, what's that?
Probably for a 55 cup urn, she'd put like 2 teaspoons.
Okay. So now, if you're making a
hefty sprinkle.
So if you're doing like a pot of 8 to 10 cups, maybe just like a pinch.
Maybe a half a teaspoon, a quarter of a teaspoon. I would do more than a pinch.
Right.
Yeah, it's supposed to cut the bitterness.
The bitterness. Yeah.
But I think it's tricking your palate. I don't think it's cutting anything. I think it's just making your salty
balancing.
Palate kick in so you're not tasting the bitter.
Well, which is why I think for the first almost 25 years of my life, well, the years that I drank coffee, so let's mm-hmm. say from 15 to 25, for the first 10 years of drinking coffee, I had it with just cream.
Right.
And then when I met my husband, mm-hmm. he always had sugar in his coffee.
Right.
And sometimes he would just forget and he would put sugar in my coffee, which I always thought was just horrible. But then I realized if you just do a little bit of sugar, it actually cuts the bitterness. I think that's why people put
Yeah, it's actually sugar in their it's coffee. Not but you know what it's the same thing. It's tricking your palate. It's not really cutting it. It's just like why you put salt in baked goods. So putting salt in baked goods is not really making it sweeter. It's just opening up your palate so that you can taste the sweetness. So the same thing right. with the bitterness in a cup of coffee. It's balancing
your
palate.
It's yeah. balancing. Yeah. yeah. So I think I'm going to, for my next pot of coffee tomorrow, I'm going to
put some salt in it and see if you, you should do a taste test. You should do a side by side and see what you think.
I should.
Yeah. I would.
I saw something earlier and I
just give it to Don in the morning and say, what do you think of this cup? And then
what do you
think
of
this
cup?
Yeah. Although most people I know that drink coffee, they don't care what it, I mean, Mario's a little bit of a coffee snob, but it's the morning. He needs a cup of coffee. Like I think it's
now
just
when you say
get his eyes open.
When you say he's a coffee snob, what does that mean? What is his...
We have, because when we have company around, I'm not always bringing the roasted beans that were specifically roasted for Chambers Walk at Small World Coffee that we have at work that we right. grind for our house coffee. So I have pods, I have, you know, Colombian coffee. I have Italian roast. I have some Starbucks ones. I have some Wawa ones because, you know, everybody likes their own type of coffee. So I have a Keurig and I have different pods with different flavors. Mario will never touch that stuff.
I don't blame him.
He only drinks. I know, but you know what? People get used to what they like. Like Ryan likes Wawa coffee and the girls like Starbucks coffee. And, you know, I cannot speak Mario to this because I am not I love tea, but I'm not a snob about it. Like you give me a cup of tea, I'll either like it or not like it. I'll still enjoy it probably. But Mario will not. Mario will only have, it's not just Small World coffee. It's the Small World coffee that is the Chambers Walk blend. So they make you your own blend.
Oh.
So it's not like you can go there and buy a bag. It's like our blend that they have.
And what does, do you know what your blend consists of?
Mario probably does. I could care less. No.
I know.
No, not my... not my area of expertise nor pleasure.
I'm sure it's a
nice
blend. It
holds no appeal for me whatsoever.
And for people who don't know, does Small World, do they distribute or is it just local?
No, they distribute. You can go in and buy. I mean, they have local outlets, but you can go in and buy, you know, pounds of their home roasted whatever.
But it's good coffee. So anybody who's not familiar with the name Small World, it's a coffee
it's a
shop in Princeton.
Roastery that was sort of the, you know, how long ago, Deirdre, was the coffee craze started? Maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago when coffee shops became, you know, they roasted their own. Probably more than that, right? 20?
See, we're getting so old. We think it was 10 or 15. It's like 30.
That's as far back as I can remember. It's probably 30 years ago.
I think it's 30 years ago.
Well, I will say that Chambers Walk, when we were in Princeton in 1986, we had... I had never seen one anywhere. The first ever like coffee area with like six different flavors and, you know, lots of different roasts. And so that was in 1986.
Right. I was 86. So that's
But that was more going somewhere, going to a cafe and having them with a selection of coffees. Not that like everybody now has specialty roasted coffee in their home. You know, that I think is a little bit later than the 80s.
I just get the really inexpensive, unless I'm having your wonderful coffee from Guatemala.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting...
A lot of my friends don't like.
It's
my
okay.
My brother specifically, he's a tugboat captain. He drinks a ton of coffee. As you might imagine, when he's on a 12-hour shift, he drinks a lot of coffee. He doesn't like it. It's not strong enough for him.
It's not that strong. I actually, I love getting it just for the sake of getting it. And I enjoy it when I have it. And again, I'm sort of a coffee snob, but again, sometimes I just need something to wake me up. But back in the day, I could be a little more of a snob or experiment back when I could drink more coffee. I really don't have more than one cup, you know, probably is the equivalent of two cups, you know, because I have like a mug. Sometimes I drink half of it and I don't have any more caffeine for the day. But I like that there's brands that are sort of nationwide and I'm trying to, Bustelo. Is that
Bustelo.
They're like the...
Lavazza.
Lavazza. They're like the espresso type of coffees. Now, if you make them in an espresso maker, with a small amount of water, you're going to get espresso coffee. But if you just put it in a regular, you know,
coffee
pot
and
brew it, it doesn't come out like espresso, but it's got that espresso like intensity
flavor.
And flavor. So, and it's like $2 a can.
I
can't get the Peet's or the Starbucks or any of that. I just don't think it's worth it.
Yeah.
You don't get it.
I don't get it. I'm happy with a cup of Lipton tea, and I'm also happy with a really good Earl Grey or Irish breakfast.
Well, I
like green tea. I love chai.
I did wind up, I bought my green tea, my decaffeinated green tea in bulk.
Yes.
So I put in, oh gosh, I think it was like the equivalent of a cup of the leaves into a big batch of water. And then I was sort of doing the calculation because I don't want to OD on it, even though it's decaffeinated. It's still, there's components.
There's still caffeine in it.
It's still got, it's only got like 1% or something of the caffeine that a regular caffeinated tea would have. So if coffee has, I forget, but let's say it has 15 milligrams of caffeine in a cup, green tea has like 2. So if I have decaffeinated green tea, I know I'm not getting that much, but there's also different components of tea that you also have to be careful of. It's not just caffeine. There's the tannins and there's different chemicals, or not even chemicals, but phytonutrients, that if you don't want to have too much of. So I figured out that this batch of tea that I made, every 8 ounces was the equivalent of about 12 cups of green tea.
Oh, wow.
So I decided to try to, like, I just pour a little bit in a glass, then I fill it up with water. Ice, and so it's still strong.
So you're just making the concentrate. Gotcha.
It's just so much more efficient than trying to constantly be brewing all of these batches of tea.
Right.
And I love it. I think, and I swear it makes me feel some clarity. And I know the difference between caffeine buzz and caffeine clarity. I feel like there's something else going on in a brain boosting capacity
when
I drink this stuff. And I don't know if it's placebo, maybe it's totally in my head. But
hey, anything that makes you feel good is a good thing.
Just like concentrate, like just, I don't know. It's just like a clarity.
It's making you more aware.
Yeah, like I know, I can tell the moment I have 2 sips of coffee, I can feel the effects of it. So I think I'm pretty sensitive to caffeine. There's something else that happens. So I just feel like I'm just going to keep drinking it daily. And I'm going to have a hit right now.
You're making me think of something very funny. So my father-in-law was here and we were just talking about supplements. And I had recommended to him a while ago that he start taking glucosamine and chondroitin for his knees. He doesn't have great knees, and I've had 3 knee surgeries and don't have great knees, and I've got arthritis in one hip, as you know. So I've been taking this supplement for my joints for probably since my first knee surgery. So it's got to be at least 15 years. And I recommended it to him, and he said, yeah, I've got to start taking something for my memory. You know, I feel like I'm forgetting things, and he needs a little bit more clarity. And I said, this is hysterical that you're saying this, because the last time I was in the health food store, I bought one of those herbal things for, you know, it's supposed to improve memory and clarity and, you know, just for your brain health.
Yeah.
Except there's only one problem. I keep forgetting to take it. I take my regular supplements in the morning, and this you're supposed to take at nighttime. So I have it on my bed table, and I keep forgetting to take the damn thing. Right. Every morning I wake up, I'm like, shit, I didn't take it again.
It's so funny because the older you get, it's like there's Facebook memes that talk about it. You know, I keep forgetting to take my, did I take my pills today?
Right.
So like on Monday, I took my pills, you know, I have high blood pressure, whatever, thyroid stuff. Uh-huh. And I had to take 2 days worth because I had forgotten to take Sundays.
Right.
So what I had to do while I was taking these pills is actually sing a song. I had to sing a song. Taking Sunday, Monday, and it's 2 o'clock.
Because
later in the day, I'll remember singing the song, because if I try to remember taking
the pills. Oh my God, we're all sunk. We're so screwed, all of us. Okay.
All right, we're out of time.
On that note, we are out of time. And next week, we promise it won't be a political show for the first segment. We will get
No, I'm not making that promise, Laura.
I am making that promise. I want to get to the food.
No, I am still the boss of this show. Sorry.
You're not the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
No, you're not. All right. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening.